Good to see you all here today, and welcome to our visitors again. Good to have you with us. This morning I want to talk about glue. Have any of you ever had a really good glue? You know, when you find a good glue, it's something you want to hang on to, isn't it? You want to stick with it. Anyway, oh, okay. All right. So today's lesson is glued to Jesus. We should be firmly attached to our faith and what it has brought us in this life and what it will bring us, and hold that faith like glue until the end. So today I want us to look at a few words that are in the scriptures that are really a little bit like the word glue. So as we start, I want us to think about how we should stay glued to the gospel, because there is only one, and only God's children are really authorized to carry that gospel to other people. And Paul writes in Romans 1, 16 through 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" That gospel is the thing that showed us our need, made it evident to us that sin brings death. Death, in that case, is separation from God, a loss of fellowship, and should cause us to realize that we should do anything we can or should in order to regain our fellowship with God once we've lost it. He says in Romans 3:23, and here he's really talking about all nations of people, he says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But you could even bring it down to the individual in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, where he speaks of each one of us is guilty of our own sin and gets death because of our own sin. And in Romans 6, 3 through 4, he says to these people who had been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, he says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life." I like this where he says, "so that," the purpose of, the reason that we were buried with him in baptism is so that as Christ was raised from the dead, we also can be raised from the dead. Many evidences in the scriptures that Jesus Christ can do that. He told them that that would be the great sign that he would give them. Tear down the temple and he would raise it again in 3 days. As Jonah was in the earth in the belly of the well for 3 days, so would Jesus be in the earth for 3 days. Lazarus in the tomb for 4 days, and Jesus raised him from the dead. God gave all kinds of evidence to us that if we will do the thing that he has said to do, he will raise us from the dead. That we can be coming to him dead in our sins to be baptized into Christ and be raised from the dead to walk a new life in him. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." As it was said earlier today, a gift that is free because Jesus has paid the cost. We can love and hold on to our faith because it has freed us from sin and from shame. Romans 6:7-11, "For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God." Lives, going on, continuing, living, and he will come again to take us. And he says in verse 11, "Even so consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." This is what happens when people are baptized into Christ, and this is who Paul was writing to. Consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. We can love and keep hold of our faith because it has brought us into fellowship. We could think of the passage where he speaks of going from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of God's beloved Son, where there's redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And here in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, The Apostle John writes what was from the beginning. And I love the way John starts out, just like the book of Genesis. He did this also in John chapter 1. You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Just like Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning. And here he says again, what was from the beginning in 1 John 1, 1 through 3. What we have heard, what we have seen, what with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So here John telling what he shares, telling that it is Jesus who he has seen and heard and touched that he wants to share with other people, so that they may have fellowship too. So we want to hold on tight to that like glue. Hold on tight to Jesus. Hold on tight to the fellowship that he's given us in himself. John described Jesus as what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands. And so I have it written here, and I really feel this way. I often imagine John's days with Jesus, just like I often imagine David sitting under the full moon and looking at the sheep and thinking about God. And I think about how John's life was so changed by being one of the disciples of Jesus. The best choice he ever made was the day that he walked away from those fishing nets. And Jesus called him and said, come on and follow me. James and John, and they went. And they left the fishing boats with their father's hired servants. And the fishing continued, and yet John and James found something much more important to be doing. I mean, before they were feeding people's stomachs, now they were feeding people's souls. What an experience. And so much change that took place in John over those 3 years. And so much John helped to change the world that we live in today by sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John 1, 3 through 4, what we have seen and heard we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and is with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. Again, for all of us, we should be able to say this, the same thing. The gospel that we love, the gospel that we obey, the gospel that we stand forgiven because of obeying, is something we ought to be wanting to share with others so that our joy would be complete. We should feel incomplete unless we're helping someone else to know Jesus also. In Him, in His light, in His truth, in His fellowship, in His blood cleansed. 1 John 1, 5 through 7, this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's a cleansing that continues as long as we attempt to walk in the light. We have to get into the light by baptism into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And there we remain, Lord willing, glued to Him in a new life in Him, where He continues to cleanse us and God sees us as clean. But we need to be real. We need to admit. We need to confess. Be real. He already knows you. 1 John 1, 8 through 10, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. So certainly John would never think God is a liar, so he must mean that if we try to pretend like we have no sin and God says we have sin, then actually we're the liar. And then here I come to my point of the glue. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 2, the glue. The word in the Greek, katekō, which means to hold fast, hold firmly. You see how this guy is clutching his Bible. And really, that's how we ought to be, clutching that Bible, you know. I remember how special my New King James Bible was to me after I was baptized. I got a good one, and I took and I put little pieces of masking tape in each book to mark what the book was, because I had a hard time finding what I was looking for. And then later I didn't need those because I kept reading that book and I learned to find where things were. And I was glued to that book like this guy was glued to his book. I took it with me everywhere. Now you've got it in your cell phone, right? So you've got it with you all the time. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast, katechko, hold fast, hold firmly, glue to the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Certainly we ought to stay glued to the word of God, because if we depart from it to some other word, then we're not with God anymore. Katechko, hold fast, hold firmly, bibeos, certain, firm, firmly grounded, guaranteed, steadfast, unalterable. Another word in our text in the book of Hebrews in chapter 3, 12 through 14 is also like glue. Katechko, bibeos. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast, katechko, the beginning of our assurance, bibeos, firm until the end. We're staying glued to it, holding it firmly, and it means to be grounded, firmly grounded. It means guaranteed. It means steadfast. It means unalterable. There's nothing else to walk to. And it's very important that we catch that point. There's nothing else to leave the Bible for and go to. Nothing else to leave the Word of God and go to that will get us eternal life. Katechko, hold fast, hold firmly. Hebrews 10, 22 through 23, again you see the words hold fast. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast, be glued to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. We can trust God's word because we can trust God. And that same glue that keeps us close to God also should keep us close to one another. He has chosen to make us family. That's his arrangement. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So in the context, the day drawing near might be Sunday, the day of assembly, or it certainly also includes, in the context, the day of judgment, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God or obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to stick with and stick to what he's given us. It's the only thing that can get us through to the end. We need to hold firm to that very last breath, Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, in chapter 11 of Hebrews, he had just talked about all those people who succeeded because of their faith in the Old Testament that we read about, and we know those people by association. We've known them since we were children, and we have seen their faithfulness and the outcome of their life. He says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, again, I'd like for you to think carefully about what that means, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, that isn't the word for glue, but it's a good word, and it is kind of like a glue. It means a focus that doesn't move. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, that's where he's sitting now, but he's coming again. He's going to get up and come to get those who belong to him. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. There's a lot of encouragement in the book of Hebrews, helping people to be assured of the fact that Jesus is the replacement of the Levitical system, that the Levitical system was just a shadow of the reality of Jesus Christ who was to come, that the blood of bulls and goats do not make a lasting forgiveness of your sins, but the blood of Jesus Christ is one time good for all time and continues to cleanse those who walk in Jesus. Consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I see some of you here who have been sick. You've been tired, you've been troubled, but you're here. You're here, and you're not growing weary. Don't grow weary. Amen? Don't grow weary. God's got something laid up for you. Now here, let's really look at this, not just Tim's comment, but let's see what the New American Standard Concordance has to say about fixing our eyes on Jesus. Do you see what this means? Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, aphoreo, actually means to look away from everything else. I guess that makes sense in the context, doesn't it? Throw aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and fix your eyes on Jesus and don't look at anything else. Beautiful. I love going in and finding out what the word really means sometimes, you know, because there's so much there. Just don't look at something else, you know. Just look at Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Definition, to look away from all else. Kind of reminds you of wedding vows, doesn't it? But I guess that makes us the bride of Christ, amen. Keep our eyes on one who can fill us. This is a rather long, but we've got plenty of time today, and I'm going to start here so we get it in the context of a time when Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. And it says in Matthew 14, 20 through 21, and they all ate and were satisfied, and they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. There were about 5,000 men who ate besides women and children. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. And after he sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. And still in Matthew chapter 14, now verses 24 and following, but the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. Wow. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And I think Peter's really one of the bravest men we've ever met, amen? You know, Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." Peter said, "Well, Jesus can do this. I can do this too," right? Isn't that amazing? And you know, Jesus guaranteed Peter and the others later, hey, you know, greater things than I have done, you will do. And so Peter took a step out onto the water. Can you imagine? Peter has been around water all of his life. He's a fisherman. He knows this doesn't work, right? But he takes a step out onto the water and stands. Wow, I love that guy. Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And he said, come. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Well, all is well so far. But, seeing the wind, he became frightened. What happened to his eyes? They looked at something else. He didn't keep his eyes on Jesus and look away from all other things. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Wow. If that was little faith to step out on that choppy water, you know, what is mine, you know? But the thing is, the little faith happened when he began to take his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. And just like we all will do if we take our eyes off of Jesus too, amen? When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. I like that word, certainly. When I was a kid in Kansas, my uncle got out of the Vietnam situation and went to California, and he became a drummer, and he subbed for the Doors and had a silly little Volkswagen van with flowers on it and a dog that traveled with him. And he came back to Kansas, and we thought he was a little off. But he would always use that word, certainly. And I really liked that, certainly. Well, that's a cool word, isn't it? Certainly, you are certainly God's son. With faith and focus and firmly with Jesus, we can be strong, we will be strong, we are strong. Hebrews 12:12-14. Therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. Again, a reminder from the writer of the book of Hebrews to stay strong. Strengthen yourself with your attachment to Jesus, the Christ. Esau, he couldn't handle that. He couldn't look ahead. He couldn't see the future. He couldn't see that what he would have been given was a whole lot greater value than one meal. And yet sometimes we're the same way. We want something so badly, we forget what we might actually be trading for that. You see what I mean? We want something so much that we shouldn't have, that we forget what it could cost us that we do have. Hebrews 12:15-17, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled, and there be no immoral or godless person like Esau, who sold his own birthright for a single meal. For you know that even afterwards, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought for it with tears. We had an example of a character like that in our Bible class this morning, Ahab. What a clown, you know? What a whiner. And wow, you know, he had every opportunity to turn himself around, and he just spiraled down to the end, like Esau. So talking about glue, then let's talk about holding something firmly. Let's talk about not losing our grip on reality like Esau and Ahab. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape who turn away from him who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. You know he will. And he says, yet once more. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service, with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. And I made myself a note to say that as the vine must remain on the branch to bear fruit, if we keep hold of faith and faithfulness, we won't be shaken or become burned branches ourselves. God wants us to hold firmly to what he has given us and to not look away from Jesus, but to continue to follow him, because there is a day of shaking. All those things that can be shaken. But we won't be shaken if we're attached to him. Jesus told his disciples he would be with them. We are not alone in this either. He says in John 14, 18 through 20, just before getting ready to be arrested and go to the cross, he says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You will live also. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's a good attachment, amen? That's glue. In my Father, you in me, I in you. Wow. And in Matthew 28, 19 through 20, after he's crucified and risen from the dead, he goes and sees the 11 and he says to them, therefore, go therefore, what for? He had been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And I believe that Jesus is with us today. And we have many scriptures that show us that Jesus is within us, and that we are within him, and that he is within God, and that we are connected, and that we are his family, that we are God's children, and that we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, and that we are glued together by those things. So he spoke one of those before the cross, one of those after the cross. I will not leave you as orphans. Lo, I am with you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And in Hebrews 13, 5 through 6, the writer says, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said. And, you know, what does that have to do with Esau and Ahab? Free from the love of money? You know, Esau wanted something so bad that he was willing to trade something more valuable. Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. Ahab wanted to rule. Ahab wanted so many things, but neither one of them were willing to obey God to have something greater. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? If our souls are glued in the right place, don't worry about the body. Sheep do well, sheep do better, sheep excel when their shepherd is with them. Wise sheep keep the shepherd always in their view. Now, Hebrews 13, 20, 21. Now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd. Now see again, that's the proof that he can bring things up from the dead. His son. And that he can bring us up from the dead. His children. Now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. If we'll stay glued to him and work with him, the things we do will be pleasing if we do the things he asks us to do. And the wise sheep never turns away from the shepherd. Fixing our eyes on Jesus to look away from all else. What we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands. Jesus, the Christ. John experienced Jesus. I experience Jesus. You experience Jesus. We need to stay glued to that experience. Let him change us and let him use us to help change others too. The gospel is for all to obey. Holding firm like glue, we always stay. Keeping Jesus in view without looking away, and heaven is our home. I'm hoping Warren will put that to music sometime. Let's try it together. Ready? The gospel is for all to obey. Come on. Holding firm like glue, we always stay. Keeping Jesus in view without looking away, and heaven is our home. Amen. Is it time to let Jesus give you a hand? We offer you the opportunity as we stand and as we sing.